Lady Limerick, reel 7.
What did the patients do to pass the time?
Oh, well, they played all sorts of curious games. They played cards a certain amount. Of course, there was no television or wireless or anything of that kind. They used to chat with each other. They'd read a certain amount, I suppose. We played dominoes. I think dominoes was the great game they played. They had the gramophone. They loved the gramophone. They used to have that on day and night. Well, not night, because they weren't allowed to, but they used to have it on as much as they could. They enjoyed having one at each end of the ward, if they could, playing different tunes, but very popular. They used to play whist a lot, if I remember rightly. Yes, whist and dominoes, I think, was a great game.
Did they have any tables and chairs they could use?
In the ward. No, they had tables in the ward, but they didn't have a day room or anything like that. They had to sit in the middle of them. And of course, in winter, they weren't too glad to sit around. They had stoves, which had to be stoked. And they used to sit around there and wrapped in rugs. And gosh, it was cold that winter too. 1917, I think it was, 1916-17. But they were very self-sufficient, you know. Much more so, I should imagine, than patients are now in hospital. They haven't got the gadgets to amuse them, but they just amuse themselves.
Did they do any crafts or painting?
No. I don't think anybody did. They used to write in people's albums. I've got the most marvellous albums and things. Some of them were quite good draftsmen, too. They used to. And then, they did too. They had, I remember one patient who made the most marvellous musical instrument out of an old box and a few bits of wire, and that, rather like a guitar, that sort of thing. And they used to sing a lot. That they enjoyed enormously. They used to sing all the usual sort of Tipperary's and Keep the Home Fires Burning and all those kind of things.
Were they interested in following the progress of the war?
Not awfully, I would have said. I think they were rather glad to forget it. I think they didn't. They used to take the newspaper and read a certain amount, but I think they just liked to block it out of their minds, rather.
Were there any local volunteers who would come in and read to them?
Oh yes. There were always people prepared to do that. We didn't have in those days, of course, welfare. Red Cross welfare was attached to the military hospitals, and the VADs very largely did that themselves. I mean, if they wanted to write letters and that sort of thing, and they couldn't do it themselves, and we were too busy, we'd come back when we were off duty and do that sort of work for them. Well, it wasn't work. I mean, we enjoyed doing it because they were friendly and nice and everything else. So I think that was very largely done by the VADs.
Did you actually have time for that, or was that just something you fit in somehow?
Oh, you'd fit it in out of your own time, probably. You'd be run off your feet for the time you were on duty. Unless it happened to be a very slack time when you were waiting for a new convoy to come in. Then you'd have time to all sorts of things. Gossip with them and everything else. But otherwise, it would be pretty well on the run all the time. But you could spend your time in off-duty time doing odd jobs like that.
What about the sisters? Did they do any of that?
Oh, yes, they would too. Yes, they were by and large, they were most awfully good. Awfully good and awfully considerate. But they, again, were so terribly busy that they usually were kept on the stretch the whole time. And wouldn't have had an opportunity to do that.
So they'd been ruined. They would never be able to go back to the farm or whatever.
No. No, I think it was a wonderfully stoical way they bore it all. I think it was, they had the most immense guts, I think. And one hardly ever heard a grumble of any sort or kind. I think there was much more esprit de corps, if I'd call it, in that war, and there wasn't the last, you see. Certainly, I would have said so. And it wasn't that there were more people in it, because there were many more people in this last war, really, weren't there? I mean, all civilians were in this last war, too. But of course there was a great deal of this business of it's going to be a land fit for heroes to live in. There's a great deal of euphoria about it, which perhaps accounted for the fact that people weren't bitter. They thought it was going to be a much better and easier world in every way.
Did they all think England was going to win?
Oh, I think so. Oh, I don't think they ever had a moment's doubt about that.
And what about you?
Oh, never struck me that it could be anything else. I think most people... I don't know, I suppose you... Perhaps when you're younger, you take a different view of these things. It's awfully difficult to remember one's point of view in those days, looking back on it, as compared with one's more realistic approach to the last World War. But of course the bloodshed was so awful. I think that people were terribly depressed by those awful casualty lists that used to come through. But I think, by and large, I would say that everybody was quite certain we could win in the long run. On the basis that right must prevail. You know, completely senseless sort of arguing and everything else, just as I'm sure the Germans probably felt exactly the same. Didn't strike one that way. But I think that there was no defeatist feeling at all, I would have said. Absolutely none.
You said there was a more realistic approach in the Second World War. Is that because people were different or because... You were older and knew more about things.
I think because we were older and knew more about things and had the experience of what happened after the First World War. I mean, we realised that wars don't make lands fit for heroes to live in.
What about people who were only 20?
In the last war. I suppose they'd heard us all talk about what happened in the First World War, and therefore their illusions have been rather shattered too. One entered into this last war in quite a different sort of spirit, I think, you see, too. I mean, there was none of this flag-wagging and, you know, thank God we're in the war and all that sort of business, which there was in the First World War. So I suppose that ran through pretty well the whole way. I think it was partly, of course, the ageism got a lot to do with it, too. And I'm sure if I'd been so old as I was in the Second World War when the First World War came, I should have felt quite differently about that, too. Wouldn't mean all enthusiasm and glorious and everything else, which I think most young people felt it was a wonderful opportunity for England to justify herself and show the world what a splendid power she was and all that.
What did older people think? Perhaps your mother and your father?
Well, again, I should say they were much more realistic as one was at that sort of age in the Second World War. They didn't have the same... I suppose they'd had all the other wars, hadn't they? They'd had the Boer War and Crimean War. And that must have taught them a thing or two, so I suppose they were more realistic too.
Though the First World War was war on a different scale.
Oh, entirely different scale. Yeah. Entirely different scale. Oh, yes.
Did you have any particular precautions at the hospital for Zeppelin raid?
No. They weren't really on a scale which made anybody think about them very much, unless they actually happened on your doorstep, I think.
And luckily none did.
No. No.
Do you think that the general public, who were not at all involved as VADs, realised how many wounded there were and what ghastly wounds they had?
I would think that they would, because there was scarcely a family which didn't get involved with some member of their family and would have gone to visit them in hospital and heard all about them and so forth. I mean, on a much, much wider scale than in this last World War. If taking the service cases, anyhow, of course, there weren't the same number of civilian casualties that there were. But, I think that... Pretty well every family one knew had lost somebody or other, or had they were wounded, they'd gone to see them in hospital. I think very few families were untouched.
Do you know anything about civilian hospitals at the time?
No, I don't, honestly. I had no dealings with them at all.
I should be interested to know if there was a decrease in illness.
Oh, I should think undoubtedly. I would think the people just as there was in this last war. I think one of the things was that people had to live a much more sensible life. They didn't eat so much, didn't drink so much, took more exercise. They couldn't be whisked about everywhere in cars and things, and led a more normal life, and hadn't got time to think about themselves. Yes. And many more people so much worse off than they were. They were bound to find that out sooner or later. It's awful to think it needs a war, isn't it, to make people realise that.
Did you know anyone at the time who was working in a civilian hospital?
No, I didn't.
Did the soldiers see themselves as heroes?
No, no. Not a bit, I think. They saw themselves as very ordinary people. With a gorgeous sense of humour. I mean, they really, they were simply marvellous, the way they laughed at themselves and all their disabilities and everything else. And particularly the Cockneys, of course. They would keep you in fits of laughter, even though they were desperately ill themselves. And they would, you know, enormous sense of fun playing practical jokes on each other and keeping everybody going alive. Oh, no, they were absolutely marvellous.
Did you ever miss any of the obvious heroes who won the Victoria Cross?
No, mine were all very admirable, undistinguished people.
Did they think that the heroes, as in Home Fit for Heroes, were someone else?
The head of someone else?
Yes.
Oh, I think so, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, I think they would be immensely proud of anybody in their regiment who'd distinguish themselves and won a Victoria Cross or something else, but I don't think they would ever think of themselves in that category. They're awfully modest about their own, what they've done. I mean, sometimes one heard from somebody else who came in to the ward of one of those who were already there that he'd done something absolutely splendid, but he would laugh it off and say no nonsense and so forth. No, they were always very, very modest about their own achievements. I was still, they were all heroes. I mean, to take what they did and the way they did. Much more so because they didn't get it in the limelight too. I mean, in a way, much easier to bear if everybody says how wonderful you are.
Did the nurses treat them at all as heroes, saying how wonderful you are, or were they all just the same?
Oh no, I think just the same. No, you see, there wasn't time for those sort of things too. I mean, when looking back on it now, you see, you know, stopped for a moment really. And you just took every job as it came along without thinking very much about either the individual. I mean, you thought of him as an individual, of course, but not particularly what his achievements had been or anything else. He just was somebody with a broken leg or a cracked head or whatever it was.
Did you have any Commonwealth Empire troops?
We had some Canadians in, I think, and I was trying to think if we had any. I think they were the only ones I remember ever came to us in hospital like that. No, I don't think we had any others.
What were they like? Did you have generalisations about Canadians due to experience with them? Or were they all the same?
I thought they were the same. I didn't have really enough. I mean, you just had one or two individuals. You can't judge from that, can you? We didn't have any Americans there. Of course, they didn't come into the war until much later. When I wasn't there. No, I don't think so. And they all got along awfully well together. I don't think there was any feeling about being superior or inferior or anything else.
How familiar were you with the vocabulary of military technology? Would they be talking about certain kinds of guns, aircraft?
What, the patients?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, no, I wasn't at all familiar with them. Battle implements. They were trying to explain very laboriously what it was all about. But I don't think they expected that one would be very knowledgeable.
Oh, is there anything else that you think they haven't covered?
I'm sure there's lots. As you say, I shall have less people this carry and think of it all later this evening or tomorrow.
Well, the trouble is, it's such an enormous subject. You can only pick certain things.
Yes, and of course it's... one doesn't throw one's mind back very often on those days, and therefore, you know, things only sort of come up by degrees. So when you ask questions, you suddenly begin to think about what life really was like or what people were really like at the time. It was a much easier war, I think, in a way, because there was a much greater sense of communal purpose about it. The only thing which was, I thought, very bad about looking back on it in that war was the awful way people treated anybody they thought might have the slightest German connection. You know, people's German governesses were all sent to whatever the place was they did. Poor innocent people, I'm sure, never would have thought of doing anybody any harm. But it was a witch hunt. I think, really, more so than in the last World War.
Did you know any people of German background?
Not in that war, no, I don't think I did. But they weren't sent to the Isle of Man or anything like that. I mean, nobody that I knew was.